Let's pick our Bibles up and turn to Genesis chapter 6 and Joshua chapter 7. Amen. Genesis 6, Joshua chapter 7. And I'm going to begin to read from Genesis 6 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took of them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bore children to them, and the same became mighty men which were of old, and men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made him. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 19. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, the glory to the Lord of Israel, and make confession unto me, unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, and hide not from me. And Achan answered, and Joshua said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord, God of Israel, and thus and thus and thus have I done. And when I was among the spoils of goodly Babylonish's garments, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, and then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. And Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, unto all the children of Israel, laid them before the Lord. And Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan and his sons, Zerah, and the silver, and the garments, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned him with fire. After they had stoned him with with stones. They raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierce of his anger. Wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. By the grace of God today, I want to preach about the stones of humanity. Amen. The stones of humanity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day today. We thank you for your spirit, your love, your devotion, your righteousness today. And we pray that God, that you would minister to us and through us successfully today and strengthen us, and we'll give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There are obvious stories, and there are obvious signs, I should say, that are placed within these two portions of Scripture. And I guess what I really want to emphasize today is really the importance of our spiritual focus. Spiritual focus is important. And there are things that have a tendency to come against us. And according to the condition of the flesh, it's a natural situation that things would come against us spiritually. We live in some very difficult days. And I believe that we need to address them as days that are difficult. I really do. I think that the church needs to feel the urgency of today, because I believe that it can come to a place and to a situation that it's a battle right now between righteousness and unrighteousness, and the fire of that battle has raged. Amen. The fire of that battle has raged. I believe it's raged because one reason is because Satan has the sensitivity to believe that his time is short. The second reason is that man has become so calloused that it no longer has a sensitivity to the environment surrounding him. So there's a battle here, spiritual battle, and I believe that the church needs to be able to address the battle and to look at the battle and to choose a side and to be on that side effectively. Amen. See, I think what people don't realize is that it doesn't matter how close we are to the coming of the Lord, the power of God is still the greatest power in the universe. There is still no power that can match the presence of God. So when you get out into the realm of the spiritual world, and when you get out there and you see all these confusing spirits that run into each other, because they do, because their object is to deceive, and they're all out for a position of deception, and they all have their own agendas and their own way. But as soon as the power of God comes up, they are forced to cease their activity. Even though the forces of evil are aggressive spirits, the gentleness of God's spirit is more powerful than their aggressiveness. Amen. That's why when the Lord comes to us and gives us peace to our soul, everything around us has to rest. The voices stop. The influence stops. The individual that comes against us stops. Because why? Because the gentleness of God is more powerful than the aggressiveness of the spirit world. Because when he says, let there be peace, it just happens. Now, here's the problem with man. Man could become, and man does become sometimes so analytical that it entertains confusion. That's right. Man entertains confusion and believes and has the assumption that he's going to get positive results from the entertainment of confusion. You can't get a positive result from entertainment of confusion. It can't happen. Because once you come to a solution, you're always looking at whether or not you made the right decision or not. Maybe this wasn't the right thing. Maybe it wasn't supposed to. But when you have peace, you don't really know. You sometimes in your mind, it's still analytical. You still want to battle the situation, but there's something just right about it. Amen? There's just something that's right about it. There's something that's right about it. Stones of humanity. And it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, that daughters were born unto them, and that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair, and they took them wives, all of which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. So all of a sudden, if she looked good to you, you married her. Amen. The sons of God, of course, they have a lot of things about the sons of God. We won't get into that. That's another Bible study. Amen. Praise God. But as men begin to multiply upon the face of the earth, something took place. Amen. Something took place. And so, as in other words, what really took place was, you know, before there was a handful. And so since there was only a handful, God was the centerpiece. And so all of a sudden when the earth began to multiply, God was no longer the centerpiece anymore. They start looking at the beauty of women. And since they had no laws, they had no written laws. They had no written laws. And so since they had no written laws, they just did whatever they wanted to do. They married whoever they wanted to marry. They lived any way they wanted to live. And they said all kinds of things took place. Giants were born. All these type of things were taking place. The havoc was taking place. And of course the Lord said, and the Bible says that the only thing that came out of man was wickedness continually. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and thought of his heart was only evil continually. I have come, the Lord showed me something. The two biggest weaknesses of man. And when I say man, I mean mankind. Or men, maybe even men. First of all, men, women. Right? Make sense? The second is something that we don't see. Violence. Violence. Oh, violence. Violence. For whatever level, violence. We live in a very violent world. They at that particular time were very violent. Very violent, violent. We live in a violent world. Violence is something, you know, and I say that because, you know, a man sometimes desires to be a champion. And in order to sometimes to be a champion, you got to destroy something. Am I right? You got to tear something up. Violence. We live in a very violent world. You'd be surprised how many people out here celebrate violence every day as a normal position of entertainment. The majority of entertainment that people look at is related to violence. Am I right? Oh, I like the action films. Hey, man. Huh? I walked in the shop bed the other day. And I looked up there, and they had this whatever video playing. And I thought, you know, I watched this guy. My goodness, man, if a cat had nine lives, he didn't even die once. You know, blowing explosions and all that, you know. I said, only on TV. Only on TV. And you know what somebody said? But that's a good film. That's what they said. I thought, oh, my goodness. You know, because they never considered the reality that position of, because it was an impossibility. That's the world we live in. Violent world. Very violent. Sometimes people don't want to admit to that, but we live in a very violent world. Action packed drama. My goodness. And you know what that does? That warps the imagination. It would be the same thing as, it's the same thing with adult scenes or whatever. You know, it's all drunk. Everything's dramatic. People live their life on the edge of drama. How can you live your life on the edge of drama and deal with the reality of life at the same time? How do you do that? How do you live your life on the edge of drama and deal with the reality of life? That's why many people cannot make a solid decision for the future of their families, because they live on the edge of drama. They live on drama. They live in a very unrealistic world. Even though they say, even though they might say, well, that's just, that's what I like or whatever. As far as I'm concerned, if you're entertaining that, whatever you entertain becomes a part of you. Am I right? So sometimes people ask me, and What type of games do I get for my children on my PC? And so we had a couple of people gave us some games, you know. And my wife went through, got to go. Amen? And so, not that, got to go. Amen. So now they're stuck with NHL, NBA, soccer, baseball, whatever it might be, right? At least it's realistic. Am I right? But if my wife see anything that points a gun, it's got to go. Amen. It's got to go. You know why? Because she doesn't want her children to entertain drama. We live in a world. Now listen, here's what I think we don't understand. We are living in a society today, especially in America. And don't get me wrong, I don't believe in gun control. I really don't. I believe that we should have a right to bear arms. I really believe that. Nobody can tell me that we should not have a right to bear arms. That's according to our Constitution. We should have the right to bear arms. But there has been an abuse to bearing arms in America. Am I right? I mean, it's rampant. It's crazy. I am afraid to read the newspaper. I'm afraid to look at the news on the internet. I'm ready to call somebody and say that all professional players should be abolished. Hey, I'm tired of hearing about guns. I'm tired of hearing about strip joints. I'm tired of hearing about dog fights. You know why? And I know, you know what, somebody introduced something to me the other day. I didn't know it. Me and my wife was at somebody's house. We was eating barbecue. They invited us, one of our neighbors, and they had this huge, huge big screen TV, and all of a sudden something popped on, and it was the FCF, the UFC. The Ultimate Fighting Conference. Not boxing. The Ultimate Fighting Conference. Anybody ever heard about it? You heard about it, right? The Ultimate Fighting Conference. And they started, these two guys got in the ring, and I thought they were two animals. And they pounded each other. My wife walked in, and I'm sitting there like this, and this guy saying, "This is better than boxing." I'm looking at him saying, "What?" And Brenda walks in, looks at the screen, and she goes like this. And she says, "I can't watch it no more. I feel like they're beating on me." This guy is a nice, timid guy. Am I right? If you see him walk on the street, you would think he would never harm anybody. And he wouldn't. But he entertains that. And then his wife start. And then they start telling us about people. You know how they got. They know guys. You know, they know guys that are part of it. That come on the celebrities. And I'm sitting there thinking, what is this? And the Holy Ghost is speaking to me. Look, you see what the world's entertaining? And I'm thinking, my goodness, man. These guys are bleeding, blood just flowing. I'm thinking, what in the world? Pounding guys' heads, stepping on it, punching it. I mean, for real. This ain't WWF. This is the real stuff. And I thought, how could anybody in their human mind entertain a man getting beat like that? Two men coming. How could we entertain that? How could Michael Vick take 70 dogs and electrocute some of them and kill them and put them in pit? How could you do that? We live in a sick society, y'all. This is the stone of humanity. This is what's going to cause the judgment of God against humanity. Amen? Now, I know some people would think, Well, what's in there for us? I say it's in there for us because we are in the world. But we should not be of the world. Amen. Now we have our own little things of entertainment, whatever that means. But some things, I think, maybe some things we need to scrutinize. Maybe some things we need to take a second look at and say, do I need this? Now the flesh is going to tell you, it's all right. It's all right, brother. Don't worry about it. You go ahead and covet it. It's all right. And you know what the flesh is going to tell you? In fact, I tell you what. You put it away and don't let nobody else see it but you. Am I right? You put it away. You tuck it in. Make sure, you know, the kids can't get to it. You can't get to it. And then every once in a while, when you get a chance, you just take it out and you slide on in your computer and you start playing your game. Huh? You know what I'm trying to say? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that games are wrong. I'm not even saying that, you know, the Star Wars games we play. I'm not saying they're wrong. So I'm not preaching against anything. But I just feel something in my spirit. Maybe there's some things that need to be kind of sorted out. Am I making sense? Praise God. I'm not. See, some people think you're trying to read their mail, trying to go up in their house, trying to look in their closets. But the reason why I say that is because if you come to my house and you can't look at what I'm playing, there's something wrong. Praise God. It's really, the subtitle of this is not just, the title is The Stone of Humanity, but the Stones of Humanity, but the subtitle is The Spirit of Achan. Because, see, Achan took the things of Babylon and he hid them. Put it in the ground. Now, this is our part. And all of a sudden he took them. They had spoiled the Babylonians. They took it. And he hit him. And he got some nice little stuff out of it, too. Huh? He knew what he wanted, huh? He got him a good, nice little garment, got him some silver, a wedge of gold. Hey, man, got good taste. But the Lord said, when you take over Babylon, don't take anything. Praise God. And what did Achan say? What did the spirit of Achan say? See, this is the problem about this. This is why it's very important that we need to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Because sometimes your spirit and your flesh will dictate to things to you to be dishonest with God. Me and my wife was talking about this up there at the kitchen table one week about integrity. Now, I'm talking about integrity. Integrity with God. In other words, you might not know it. I might not know it. Or whatever. They might not all know it. But I know that God knows it. And that's where integrity comes in. See, the point thing is, you could be weak about something. Or you could have a habit or whatever. But I found one thing. As long as you're honest with God and say, Lord, listen, forgive me. Help me with this struggle. Help me with this struggle to overcome this. Then you know what happens? You're covered by the blood. And the Spirit of God comes to you, and the blood of Jesus will come upon you and help you in that struggle. Now, it might take some time. See, everybody, see, you know what? Sometimes we get up there and vroom, vroom, is it? It's over. No, it ain't. Come on now. Hallelujah. Go back and still the same thing. In fact, sometimes it gets worse. Am I right? Now, what am I saying? I am not saying that that's wrong. Because I don't think there's anyone in here that doesn't have that type of struggle or hasn't dealt with that type of struggle. Praise God. But the most important thing is that we have to maintain an integrity before God. In other words, what I do with my struggle, I keep it out in front. You might not know, but he knows. And I'm acknowledging to him that, hey, this is where I'm at. Now, I ain't going to lie to God. Tell God, you know, I'm walking a straight line. I'm there, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. No. And nobody else in here can do it. Not as long as you're walking in flesh, you won't. You won't. And this is one reason why we don't have time to throw a rock at my neighbor. That's why you ain't got time. Because as long as you got a problem, I don't care if they got 10 problems, you still got one. Amen. You still got one. Oh, well, you know, and the word thing, here's the devil. Your situation is not as bad as his. You spiritual. Huh? And you know what happens? When you harbor on that and you think you're more spiritual than him, you're deader than a roach. You're deader than a roach. Because you become, you lose, you have no compassion, you have no feelings. You become callous. Amen. You know, I realized somebody asked me about a certain situation the other day, and what do you do about that? How you do it? I said, well, how do you put up with it? That's what they was asking me. You know? And I said, well, I just keep praying. You know? They was asking me this as being a pastor. I said, I just keep praying. I see the problem, but I just keep believing God. Because I can't believe the individual, but I can believe God can work in that individual to change the problem. Amen? So I just keep praying. You know? And what did I say that in light of? My own problem. Amen. Because then I said, well, you know, if I point at you, I got four fingers pointing back at me. Amen. I'm very sensitive about that. I'm very sensitive about it because I realize that that type of spirit stagnates the growth of a church. It hurts people. It hurts people. And the worst thing we could do in the day that we live in right now is hurt each other. See, there should be no pain in here. This should be the pain reliever. You should come in here for relief of pain. If you come in here and you're in pain, then you need to check out. You need to pray through. See, this should be the pain reliever. Amen. And so therefore, it's important for us to be genuine, have the right spirit and the right attitude. Have to open up a little bit. Amen. But we don't want to have the spirit of Achan. Because what happened was, Achan, yeah, he stole it. He buried it. It was well hidden, but God revealed it. I like what happened today. And I want this type of atmosphere like today to continue. Praise God. I want the Lord to have his liberty. And so therefore, I just feel in my spirit that since this is a different dispensation of this is grace and not judgment, amen. The beautiful thing about this is the Lord won't stone us. But he'll give us time to come to a sense of integrity with him. That we will not be stoned in the end. Amen. See, I don't want to be judged by God. Ooh, that's hard, ain't it? I mean, we know that the house of God is the first one to be judged. Judgment starts here. But what I'm trying to say is, I don't want the Lord to judge me as a sinner and an unrepentant sinner. Because see, what happens is when we hide our position of integrity before God, and not when we're not honest and open with God, then we invite the judgment of God. You don't know. You don't know what I'm doing. I come in, raise my hands, hallelujah. Do a little jig. Praise God. I'm doing my thing. Oh man, he's all right. You know, put my tithes in the offering plate. Hallelujah. Everything. I'm all right. I'm good. And then maybe I get home and pull out my little stuff, whatever that is. God, integrity. Praise God. Judgment. Why? Because he loves us. And because he wants us to be free. Integrity. Be open with God. I'm not saying you got to tell everybody else. I think it's wrong when people walk around the church and tell everybody they sin. What you do? Try to poison each other? I don't want to know. If you're a drunk on the side, you keep it to yourself. Amen. I'll be right here telling everybody you're a drunk. You know, when I speak in tongues, but I still drink every once in a while. I don't want to hear all that. What are you talking about? Huh? You sure you speaking in tongues because it's the Holy Ghost? What spirit are you of? Amen. See? Don't spread your garbage around. Keep your garbage to yourself. But work to clean your garbage up. Did that make sense? Work to clean your garbage up because you want to be clean before God. Because you want to be in a position where God can continue to work in the midst of the body. Because once God singles you out, he's going to stone you. He's going to stone you. The Bible says that we're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. And if we fail, we're trodden under the foot of men. Am I right? Men, you lose your favor. People say, You know what? You know, here's what people don't realize about Christianity. Here's sometimes we don't realize. The greatest thing that people see in us is victory. Not your righteousness. Victory. You're different. Not because you're forced to. Because you choose to be. I don't go to club because I don't want to. Victory. I love my wife. Oh, man. I said that at work. People would look at me like, man, this guy likes his wife. There's something wrong with him. Man, and the women start smiling. Oh, you're so nice. Am I right? It's the same. Huh? Am I right? Hey, LaShonda can speak. Am I right? Huh? When I tell people I love my wife, you see all the women. Man, you know, they all look at me like, and he means it. Praise God. Now, she don't know that. She might think, you know, what you want. You know. As soon as you tell people that. And so when she comes up to our place, everybody just say, oh, Rita, they just love her. You're so, like, you know what they be saying? You're so fortunate. And she be thinking, You know? You know why they be saying that? Because she has a husband that can show his expressions to them and she's not there. You know? And not chasing every skirt I see. Amen. Not interested. Amen. Not interested. I'm satisfied. I'm content. I'm well taken care of. Hallelujah. Praise God. Not only that is, when she walks in there, she has the bright shine of the Holy Ghost, so she ain't all plastered up. I know what I'm looking at. Amen. I know what I'm looking at. That's my wife. She looks the same every morning. Praise God. Amen. And I'm pleased with that. That's the way it's supposed to be, y'all. That's the victory that they see in your life. They see that victory. They see that when you have that type of victory, when you have that type of attitude. That's what wins them. That's what brings them in. That's what gets them to come, you know. Because you know what? Because there's a whole lot of churches around here. Anybody can go to church. I know a whole lot of folks around here going to church and trying to get out. That's right. You know why they don't all pour up in here? Because they're afraid of commitment. Commitment. That's all. But you know what? Here's what happens. The stones of humanity. The soul is becoming to a place where it's becoming so hungry, it doesn't matter what the commitment it'll take to become satisfied. That's what's going to cause revival. That's what caused revival. That the soul becomes so hungry that it don't even matter no more. You know, God, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. You flip me over, turn me over, I don't care. But I'm so tired of the results of sin and what sin is doing in my life that I need something greater. That's right. And you know, they come in and they latch on because they realize the importance of being committed. Because as long as they don't have to be committed, they won't. But let's face it, if you're gonna successfully serve God, you've got to be committed to it. Amen. You got to be committed to the Lord. I was looking at. I was thinking about some of the things that the Pope said. My, did he not stir the pot? Huh? That the Catholic Church was the only true church? No other true church. Because they're the only ones that had apostolic roots. I thought, man, he need to call me. Hallelujah. He need to call me. What's happening? What's happening is that he's attempting to stir the pot because he can afford to. Now, I'm going to show you something. I don't think there's been no other religious organization in the world that has been caught with such horrendous sin against them, but yet still so powerful. The Archdiocese of, I think, California paid out $600 million. $600 million for men to men that were abused by Catholic priests. $600 million. Somebody asked me one time, said to me one time, well, that's, you know, they're priests. I said, listen, they're criminals. Oh, don't say that. They're criminals. There's criminals. They're criminals. It's wrong. $600 million. They bought off their debt to society. And they'll continue to do that. And since they're buying off their debt, it empowers the Pope to say, We're the only true church. This shows you how messed up the world is. Amen. Instead of the Pope saying every one of those priests or archbishops or whatever that committed those erroneous crimes, give me your license. Am I right? Take off your habit. You no longer belong. You sit in the pew, my friend. Am I right? Amen. No, you didn't hear that. They protected them. They covered them. In front of the what? The world. And you know what? The world allowed to happen. Because the world is so secular and so insensitive to God that it couldn't do anything about it. And now the Pope comes back and makes a proclamation against other religious organizations and says, listen, y'all do not understand the position of true salvation. I thought, my goodness. Help us, Lord. Huh? And he stirred the pot. And when he stirred the pot, they all began to give him a call. And you know what? Some of them didn't say anything. Because you know what? I really believe that some of the leaders believe that he's right. And he's going to get them to submit. Because we live in the last days. We live in the last days. I believe that his seat is the seat of the false prophet or whatever. Amen. We live in the last days. Stones of humanity. Stones of humanity. In other words, see, it's not God that destroys us. It's we that destroy ourselves. And so what's my attempt today? My attempt today is in the Word of God and through the things in the Word of God is to protect the body through integrity with God. Integrity. These things out here, we can't do much about the things around us. Amen. We can get picket signs and go out and start preaching and teaching against it, but that'd be a waste of God's time. But we can't reach the people around us. And we can continue to have the services and the presence of God as we have it. But the thing is that I believe that the greater position of integrity that we show before God, the greater the presence of God will come into this place. We can't be hiding nothing. So what I'm trying to say, instead of you hiding it, pull it out. Say, Lord, help me with this. Pull it out. Be honest with yourself and save yourself from this towards generation. Save yourself from it. Don't hide it. Don't hide it. People are doing things and people hide things today because of their position. Preachers do it. Amen. And if I say that because of the fact that if we do that, and what happens, preachers do it because of the fact that they forget. Or they're in that realm where they think they're not human, they can't make mistakes, and they shouldn't be making a mistake. Well, we all make our sins and mistakes, but we all need to pull that thing out and let God deal with it. Because what happens is too many preachers over the years have hidden their positions and allowed it to fester, and it's come up upon them and destroyed their ministries and destroyed their families. That's the stone of humanity. That can happen to anybody. Amen? I say the reason why I mention preachers is because sometimes people think that preachers are immune. We're not immune. In fact, sometimes we're more susceptible. We can be more susceptible. And that's why I need y'all to pray. Praise God. Because I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. I want to act the way the Lord wants me to act. I want to react the way the Lord wants me to act. And I want to be honest with God. And I want the church to be honest with the Lord. And I want to remember every day of my life that when I wake up in the morning, that this is not my church, this is God's church. And I know one thing, as long as God passes his church, it'll be all right. That's the most important key. Amen? And as long as y'all look for the presence of God and be honest before God's presence, the Lord will enter in. I don't care what the sin is. I don't care what the failure is. I don't care. I don't need to know all the details. Who am I to judge a man in the midst of his details? There's the altar. Talk to God. God knows it all. He knows the beginning, where it started, where it ended. Amen. Talk to the Lord. You know, some people think, well, you know, I need a counsel session. There's some things I don't want to talk about. Amen. It's something, I mean, really, something I don't want to know. You know, I really don't want to know. If I have to, that's different. But there's some things I don't really want to know because I don't think it's important for me to know. I think it's important for you to get down in front of the altar, be honest with God, and pull your heart out with God. And whatever it is, if you lay it on the altar, it will pass. Amen. Some people think if you get me to pull judgment, it's going to change. No, I'm a human. You don't want me to judge you. Amen. You want me to give you advice, but you don't want me to judge you. Amen. See, that's a cultism. This is not a cult. Praise God. It ain't a cult. I ain't the guru. This is the church of God. Amen. And I might be the pastor, but I'm also your brother. Praise God. Have I heard some things? Oh, yeah. Some brothers have come to me and told me some things. And some sisters have told me some things that transpire in their life that ain't pretty. But you know what? I told him the same thing. Give it to God. He'll work it out. I don't believe in this situation where I do believe that ministry needs to be clean, holy. But what keeps ministry clean and holy is not perfection. It's integrity. It's not perfection. It's integrity. That's what keeps it clean and holy. Your honesty before the throne of God. Because I've had people come and say, I got something and it ain't too pretty and they're struggling with it and they're struggling with it. And they say, well, maybe I need to sit down. And you know, I look at them and say, well, let me tell you something. Did it start while you were there? Yeah. Well, let it fit. If it started right when you're there, you work it through where you are. Because I don't call you to ministry. God calls you to ministry. You work it out. And what happens is when you work it out, what happens? You grow. You mature in the Lord. You understand it. But you know, if it's got to be always a thing where I got to punish you to get you to do right, you know what it is? If I got to punish you to get you to do right, I know too much about your business. And you know why I know too much? Because you're not giving it over to the Lord. Praise God. You need to be giving it to God. Because he is the only one that can heal us, redeem us, and save us. Hallelujah. I'm trying to break this thing wide open. I'm trying to get every portion of flesh out of the way that I can get out of the way. Amen. Lord, let's stand, y'all.